Hello, everybody, and welcome back to Spiritual Successor, a comedy video game design podcast where we take your lovely ideas from all over the internet and turn them into the next AAA titles. I'm your host, AJ Hart.
And I am your other host, Blake Rea. Do you feel bad? Do you feel blue? Do you feel like you need a little pick-me-up today? Well, I have one tip for you that doctors don't want you to know about. If you're ever feeling down and out, I would recommend Crush 40's Escape from the City by Sonic the Hedgehog from the Sonic Adventure 2 soundtrack. Because I turned that on while me and AJ were just sitting here before the podcast, and I feel prepped, I feel pepped, I feel alive, and I feel good. AJ disagrees with me because he thinks the Shadow of the Hedgehog soundtrack is better, which is
actually wrong. Well, okay, now you're putting words in my mouth. You're cashing checks that I don't agree with, all right? If you're coming in, here's the thing. You had that bit, and I was ready to bring in my bit, but you wanted to speak for me, and that's not how we do things around here. Capiche? You were like, if you're feeling, if you need a little bit of pep in your step, then go ahead and play. Look, they have different, goals. They have different, they are different pieces of art.
Yeah, one's edgy and dumb, and the other one's a feel-good ska jam.
If you were saying, if you want pep in your step, then you should listen to Escape the City by Crush 40, absolutely. I was thinking to myself as you were saying that, I was like, you know, I Am All of Me is really not that great for like a pep in your step thing, but definitely a great like I need to pump up and get shit done kind of track. And I do believe I agree with you. Escape the City is a very good pep in your step. I need a good positive energy track. I Am All of Me, the titular song from the Shadow the Hedgehog video game, is a great song if you need to listen to something to really put a little bit of oomph in your giddy up. You
know what I mean?
You're not gonna be smiling while you're doing it, but you're gonna furrow your eyebrows a little bit. You're gonna maybe grit your teeth a little bit, and you're gonna think to yourself, "Oh yeah,
AJ.
I am all of me.
I think I found out what our next Twitter poll is going to be. We haven't done one in forever, but it'd be so funny.
Which song is better? Escape the City.
Which song is better?
I Am All of Me.
Escape the City. Here's the three options. What song's better? Escape from the City, I Am All of Me, or I've Never Heard of These Fucking Songs Before.
I like to imagine that the Venn diagram of our listenership and people that know both of those songs by name in a perfect world is a complete circle.
Actually, you know what this reminds me of? Debating which one's better. The fucking Game of the Year awards happened, and you know how many like 4-player horde games came out? Like, did the trailers? Like, you had Darktide. You had the sequel, like from the team from Left 4 Dead, doing their. It's like Blood. Blood or
the
whatever.
Spiritual successor.
God,
we can roll credits on the whole. We can pack it up. We can roll credits on the whole podcast. We're done
on the whole series. On a side note, actually, since you mentioned that, I would love to talk about this on the podcast. For the life of me, I didn't realize when you came up with the title for Spiritual Successor, I was like, oh, fuck, that's a great name. I didn't expect how negatively it would impact my communication to people, because anytime I'm talking about, like, let's use the Left 4 Dead thing, it's like, hey, yeah, it's the, by the people who did Left 4 Dead, it's not the sequel, but it's the Spiritual Successor. I'm like, I feel like a jackass, I feel like I'm just selling my own stuff in the middle of a different conversation.
Well, that's because you can't hear somebody say Spiritual Successor without you, like, stopping every but thing, saying, hey, stop, wait, you said Spiritual Successor, you know that's the name of my podcast that I do, and, like, I've been in those conversations with you. We'll talk about anything, and if somebody says Spiritual Success, you're like, it's time to plug. Everybody shut the hell up. It's
now you're
Blake's
putting words
time.
In my mouth that seem more damaging than saying than arguing about Sonic the Hedgehog soundtracks.
But to go back to your previous segue, a lot of segues, lots of tangents. Video Game Awards did happen, and I have to say I'm very upset. Because something we keep seeing in the awards thing, it happened with the Oscars last year, is they keep on taking some of our favorite dang award categories and doing them when they're off air at commercial break. You know, they didn't even show us the biggest sword award.
Wait, that's an actual award?
No, it's not. Continue with the bit, please. They didn't even show us the biggest sword award.
Okay, you can't.
I really thought that it was unfair.
You can't complain about something.
Final Fantasy
VII
had two people in that category this year.
You can't complain about something and then give a fake piece of evidence. Like, that doesn't work that way. But no, like, doing the commercial thing is weird because it's just like, there are people giving their acceptance speeches and shit like that, right? Don't they cut them off, like, early or just not at all? Because they're just
there weren't awards, like, thank yous this time around. There was a bunch of categories that they just kind of blasted right through, which felt a little bit weird for me. I'm not here to make a big scene and stink about the video game awards here. I'm here to talk about the fact that isn't it kind of messed up that there isn't, in the video game awards, a whole category about what track has the most banging theme song? Because I think that Hades should have won that. Hades would have won the most banging theme song. Because, like, yeah, dude, because every time I load into that game for, like, that first little track where I'm like, all right, time to do a run. And that little drum line comes in.
See, you know,
I'm like, all right, this is the one. This is the one I'm going to do it.
See, that's
and
so interesting.
Ain't no other tracks out there banging like that. Ain't no tracks out there bringing in that kind of heat, giving me that kind of energy.
I don't know. Like, I actually think I did this. Did it come out this year? I don't know. It released on Oculus this year, so it might have actually released earlier. But I don't. Here's the thing. When I played Hades, the music wasn't really my favorite part. Like, it was good.
What do you think should get best song of the year in the video game awards?
If I am remembering correctly, if it came out this year, I would definitely say Pistol Whip. All of the tracks on the Pistol Whip VR game are fucking slap. They
I regret
slap
to inform you,
so
Pistol
hard.
Whip was not big enough to be nominated for Jack Diddly shit.
Hey,
it
that
gets
fucking
nothing.
Sucks, dude. Dude, did you know they're doing... Yeah, because you and I did, like, the Pistol Whip thing for BF4 forever ago. Did you know they're adding a campaign mode now? That you can actually go through an entire, like, I don't know how long the game is, but it's a whole, like, cyberpunk-themed game. And it's
Blake,
all rhythm-based.
Pistol Whip
it's
came
so
out
fucking
November
cool.
7th, 2019. Try again.
Oh, no. Okay, well, whatever. Yeah, I guess, like, I can't name any other games with bitchin' soundtracks right now. Actually, wait! Doom! Doom fucking Eternal! What the fuck am I talking all about? Right. That game fucking slapped! Holy shit, why didn't that not win? Fucking Mick Gordon just delivered.
I'll tell you why it didn't win, no. Blake. I'll tell you exactly why. Because the person that was in the room ready to say Doom should win Best Video Game Award was sitting around thinking, man, but that game last year had a much better soundtrack, and I don't like Doom anymore.
See, no, that fucking blows because, like, Mick Gordon went... No, it legit blows because Mick Gordon went, like, above and beyond. He went to the point where he's like, hey, you know what this fucking soundtrack needs? You know what this... On top of these sweet metal licks, we need Mongolian throat singers to just come in and give us the fucking chorus. And he got, like, 40 people, all, like, professional metal singers in their field to do metal choruses for his thing. Like, there's a whole doc... There's, like, a whole micro doc on it, and it is so fascinating. I would definitely recommend anybody listen to that. Which thing did win?
Hey, Blake, I regret to inform you, it sounds like I was talking out of my ass. There is a best score and music category from the Video Game Awards, and Final Fantasy VII Remake got it.
The Final
Bits
Fantasy.
Done because I just fact-checked myself on air, so we're legally not allowed to be funny about this anymore.
You know what's good about that, though? We're not going to get blasted on our Discord for getting things wrong again. So,
nice.
You know, hey, all right, there we go. We got to make an effort to fact-check ourselves on the podcast now.
All right.
Before we go to game submissions, here is last week's trailer for Kirby Munch Crunch Deluxe.
Spiritual Successor Games.
Good morning, viewers. It's another bright and beautiful day in Dreamland. The sun is out, the waters are candy sweet, and the air has never been more peaceful. Oh, yes? Oh, it seems our newscopter has picked up the Star Warrior Kirby on a lovely stroll. They're so cute. Round body with a cute smile. Look at those pearly... whites? He's walking towards a pack of Waddle-Dee-Dees, perhaps to play volleyball. The sun is in the perfect position. But his face is contorting, pink lips peeling back to reveal a bear trap of ivory. He's laughing now. The D's are frozen. They seem to see something we don't. Perhaps Kirby has brought them a gift. AJ is on the scene to tell us more.
Thanks, Blake. Happy Sunday, everybody. I'm here with Kirby Cam, bringing you on-the-floor coverage of our favorite little Star Warrior. Oh my god! He just bit the smallest Waddle Dee in half! Neon liquid is spraying everywhere, oh no! Dear viewers, if you can hear me, run! Run for your very lives! His stubby, tiny legs are our only advantage over him! But first, But first, a word from our sponsors.
Kirby's back in an all-new gritty adventure. Bite, chew, and chomp your way to domination. Murder has never been so sweet.
Dear God, I forgot about his incredible sucking power. I can't run. None of us can get away. None of us can.
Kirby Munch Crunch Deluxe. Play it now on Game Boy.
Hey, everybody, and welcome back. I hope you enjoyed that trailer just as much as we had fun making it. It was a blast. Kind of did a little Night Vale energy there. Just want to say thank you to our awesome Patreon member, Warlockus, for submitting their voice to be used at the beginning of it. If you want to submit your voice,
Blake, thank
check
you,
us
thank
out on
you,
Patreon.
Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you for remembering to do that at the top of the show so we didn't have to blast that in right before we did patch notes again this week.
Yeah, I know. You and I are pretty... We're just a couple of himbos forgetting Ooh. Things. Hey, turn off your fucking phone. Turn off your phone. Sorry. Turn off your phone. Jesus.
Amateur hour over
but,
here.
Yeah. No. This was a lot of fun. And I feel like any role where, AJ, you get to shout in it, I feel like just listening to your takes are like the... are the ones I can tell you're most passionate about. Like, you go... the right after, like, Kirby bit into the dude, like, you're just like, oh... Oh,
it's
no.
a very fun process. I actually really like doing those little acted out blurbs for the trailers. They're a lot of fun. Blake, I have a video game for you.
Okay, hell yeah. Give it to me, brother. Can I sip some coffee while you're serenading?
Yeah, but
me with
what
voice?
If it's too funny? What if it's such a funny submission you spit up all your coffee all over everything?
I'll just put it back in the cup and drink again.
This comes to us on Twitter from Robbie Navarro at L Brown Knight. A Dark Souls-like game where you are the most powerful being and can kill anything in one hit. But the bosses are the most squirmiest things ever programmed.
Mm. See, this reminds me a lot of our... I forget the name of it, but you and I made a game like this where it was the candy, like, Dark Souls game where, like, it was Guts with a weed whacker and the final boss was Tom Nook.
This was a game where if you were hit by the bosses, you went into ragdoll physics and could be blasted away
but
back to the beginning
it,
of the
wasn't
game,
it the same...
akin to getting over it.
No, but wasn't it the same thing, though, where, like, you can... if you hit them once, they die? Or is it, like, did they have health bars? I don't really remember.
They had full health bars. For the players playing it, it still felt like a normal Dark Souls game. But then if you got hit, you were blasted all the way back to the beginning. Thank you so much for remembering our previous work. I don't remember the name of that game. This one works different.
Okay.
This one would be like a Dark Souls game. But what if you know those little, like, I forget the names of them, but they're like the little, like, crystal lizards that you have to bash so you get the little upgrade piece.
Oh, the squirt. Yeah, games? Like the ethereal gems or something like that. Yeah. No, I totally
agree.
Yeah,
they're like
the crystal, they're just crystal lizards.
You
got to
keep
yeah.
your eye out for them. What if those were the bosses? What if something that little, small, and wiggly and squirmy
AJ,
was the boss?
AJ,
and
hold
so you
on.
Had like these hyper-specific... What's up?
Hold on, I have it. Because this is totally a fucking game that shouldn't be made because I would get so pissed off playing it. The one mechanic that about those crystal lizards is they will appear, you will walk into a room and you can see them and then they'll just skitter away. But if enough time goes by without you attacking them, they actually fade into nothing. What if there was a game that... It worked like Dark Souls. It didn't have like an actual like save slot mechanic. It would just checkpoint you. But maybe okay, fuck that for a second. Let me forget that. What if you did it to where all of the bosses worked the same way? You actually had to chase down the bosses, and if you didn't hit them in time, they actually fade away, and you have to reload a save or potentially reload that thing. So like all of the bosses will run away from you, and if you don't catch them in time, guess what? They fade away and you can't advance the game. They don't come back.
Just... And you have to close the whole program, close the whole game, boot it up again, load up your previous save and go at it again.
Yeah, you have
yes,
to,
yes,
you
yes.
have to fucking turn off the machine.
What I'm also very interested in is, have you played those, like, this is a common thing in character action games where like you'll hit a boss fight where the boss is like flavor is that they're like a super fast person. Mm-hmm. So when you hit them with your sword, the character does like a dodge animation and like they can't get hit. And so like no matter how many times you wail on them, the character's like whoosh, 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 dodge, dodge, dodge.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Oh, it's like the name.
We can
the
make
nameless
every
king.
Single boss feel like that.
Yeah,
it's like what?
Did you ever fight the Nameless King in Dark Souls 3?
No.
you lucky soul. I wasted so many hours on that and still haven't beaten him. But basically he's like riding a dragon and he's constantly out of, you can't really attack him except for like save these windows of like time that you can. Are you saying something like that to where they are just like there's only very, very specific and small windows that you can get an attack in?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And even during those very specific windows where you could hit him, what if you went in and you're like, oh, it's time for you to get got, Nameless King. So you bring in with your cool sword to start fighting him, and then he's just ducking and weaving, ducking and weaving, ducking and weaving. So your combo misses because, ooh, he swerves to the right. You swing with a body slow, or like a nice big broad body swing, medium length, about right as where his chest or waist would be, and he just matrix leans back.
See, you know what I felt like every Dark Souls game needs? Every Dark Souls game has the roll mechanic, but it needs platforming mechanics. So what if we did a Dark Souls game that had Fall Guys style platforming where like you're on, like imagine you're
Dark Souls engine, it would of course be like by weight class, If you were had like heavy armor and you went to do a jump, it would have Fall Guys physics of your character tumbling around like a silly Billy. But if you were doing a Nike run, then you can run around and jump and leap like an Assassin's Creed character.
What if you did a Dark Souls game where every level is like you have to like get through an obstacle course to get to the end? And then, like, every time you die, you have to start the obstacle course again. And so it's just this irritating fucking fight to get to the boss. And then, like, when you get to the boss, it's
and
very
easy to die. And then hit the boss
die.
Fast enough that it will die, knowing that it is very small, very squirmy, and will duck and weave once you are right there ready to hit him.
You know what'd be cool? What if you did a thing where, like, each level, it was kind of a puzzle, where you started out each level with a set amount of stamina and health and, like, whatever. So, like, every swing you take, because if a boss can be killed in one swing, you need to make sure you have enough stamina for that one swing. But going through the obstacle course will require you to sacrifice stamina and health and other things.
Well, you also have to make sure that you're able to hit the boss. Again, they are one squirmy little dude. They are ducking and weaving, dodging, matrix leaning.
I think
they're doing a backflip.
I think all of that loses effect if you're not, like, if you had unlimited swings, it would just be a matter of time then. I think you need to do a challenging part. Like, going back to Dark Souls 1, I think the biggest issue a lot of people had with it was the moment you died from a boss, you had to, like, fucking walk forever and dodge enemies and go everywhere. What if you did that, but with, like, the coat of paint of, like, Fall Guys or Wipeout or some other, or MXC Unleashed for those people who remember that wild fucking show from the early 2000s.
So you want to create an extreme platformer. Where you run around and you have to platform to the boss, and then you have a stamina gauge that will deplete over time, like non-refundable stamina bar. Then once you get to the boss, then the mini game of, ooh, you got to get there before it disappears forever. And then once you get there, you have to deal with the mini game of, man, I sure do hope he does not dodge my punch because I've only got three before I'm gassed out.
Yes, yes. And if you gas out, like maybe your character just croaks over right there or...
character lays on the floor for 8 minutes.
Actually, no, it puts you in a stun like in Sekiro, where like when you stun a character, they just kind of sit there a daze and you can just do a finisher move on them. That's what happens to your character. And then the boss or whatever AI picks up on that and then kills you because they have an opening now. I just love the idea of like a person in a suit of armor with a big ass like berserk ass sword just going through the colorful world of Fall Guys and having to make sure they don't fall. And you know what you could do? just because it would just be so fucking funny to do. It actually has the lobbies of Fall Guys. So it'll be like you go into the multiplayer. You can go through the campaign and it has its own like obstacle courses and bosses. But then you want to go to the multiplayer mode? Guess what? There's 60 other people wielding giant fucking swords that are competing on this obstacle course to get to the end to go fight this boss. And the boss is so squirmy. It's just like a bunch of people swinging swords. And it's all like there's always clipping.
And they can all hit each other.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. And there's just so much. It's just everybody's just hitting one another. And then some lucky son of a bitch lands the killing blow and gets, I don't know, a golden helmet or like they get a golden sword or something.
Okay. I'm into this. Let's put a pin in this. You got another video game idea?
I do. All right, AJ, this one comes to us on Reddit from Tasty Slime Inc. Grunkle Does Not Stand, a social media manager game where you play as Grunkle Stan from Gravity Falls, fighting against the concept of standing, as amongst moral conflicts, it has also ruined your brand online. I think Stan is pissed off that nobody is standing him. Which
we have to
put our we'll have to because I feel like there's a lot of people who stan Grunkle Stan just as
hey, being Grunkle. It's me Grunkle Stan and I'm just so mad that they're standing Jungkook and not me.
Who's Jungkook? I don't know who that is.
He's a K-pop.
Oh,
guy. I'll
oh,
be honest, I've okay. only gotten his name through osmosis.
Did you say Jungkook or Jungkook?
Jungkook.
Oh,
I
thought you said John. Okay, it must have been our weird tin
the
can.
The Grunkle Stan voice is very difficult to enunciate with. I'm sorry, I don't control the Grunkle.
So I'm looking at this story, and I think the thing that pops out to me the most is it opens up with Grunkle Stan being like, hey, I need to get social media going for the Mystery
Shack.
Can
I get a Grunkle Stan voice from you?
Hey, it's me, Grunkle Stan!
thank you.
Hey, Grunkle Stan, can you come over to the mic real quick? Yeah, sure. All right, so I got it. Now I'm just doing a very, like, probably insulting Brooklyn accent. I'm sorry.
Sorry, Alex Hirsch and Brooklyn.
All right, so Grunkle Stan wants to get... God, that bit was bad. So Grunkle Stan wants to get social media for the Mystery Shack. For those that don't know what Gravity Falls is, it's a small town.
Stop listening to this podcast. Go watch all of Gravity Falls.
It's so fucking good. Oh, man. It's so lovely. That's also like one of the series. I think the main thing I love about that series, it takes that thing of like guys in love with an unattainable girl. And rather than him just like it working out at the end, it's like, no, he just has to realize that that girl is unattainable and it's unhealthy to just like fucking sit there
sorry, what are you talking about? Oh, you're talking about Dipper and what's her name?
Yes. I don't want to say the name because then it'll be like, I think it's worth
watching. Yeah, everybody go watch Gravity Falls. It's a great show filled with lots of lessons. Grunkle Stan hates Stan Twitter because he's not being Stan on Twitter. He wants to get fame for the Mystery Shack.
Grunkle Stan, the uncle of the main characters, basically runs this like trinket shop that nobody likes to go to, and all of the trinkets are like fake cryptid statues and t-shirts, and it's just it's a tourist trap place. So he wants to get social media going and enter the digital age and get shit going for his Mystery Shack. I think the thing that stands out to me is I would love to see Stan become a K-pop idol.
Okay.
The idea of Grunkle Stan, he's just like...
like, that's the new grift. The new grift is for Grunkle Stan and Seuss to be K-pop idols.
Oh, you know who actually would be really good K-pop idols in their band? They get the two boyfriend cops, and they're like, they're also part of the... I feel like the two of them would be really down to like be part of the dancing, singing troupe. Oh my God, that'd be so
good. So what we've got here is we've got a story of four incredibly powerful individuals. We've got the two wild, crazy cops from Gravity Falls. Mm-hmm. We've got Grunkle Stan, and we've got Seuss. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Now, the four of them are going to become K-pop idols. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Now, there's a couple hurdles in their way. One, they're not traditionally attractive. Number two, they're not Korean teenage boys.
That's probably the biggest hurdle, huh? the biggest hurdle is that they live in the Pacific Northwest, not Korea.
Oh, you got a problem with the Pacific Northwest?
No, I love the
You got a problem with the Pacific Northwest? Because now I'm here.
I love it.
Now I'm up in Pacific Northwest territory. If you got beef with us, let me know.
All right.
We'll hash this out.
All right, man. All right. Let me ask you.
Choose your words carefully.
Let's compare Los Angeles and the Pacific Northwest. Can you go down the street and get a vegetarian buffalo chicken sandwich from a very expensive vegetarian eatery in Los Angeles?
Brother, it's 2020. I can't leave my house and neither can you. What are you talking about?
We're
on the same boat there,
touché.
Huh?
Turns out LA
so
and Pacific
look
Northwest
like
look the same when you're stuck inside. Okay.
What does the game look like here?
I am getting the idea that it would be kind of a visual novel-esque thing that has some sort of cutaway gameplay that is either a rhythm or... yeah, probably a rhythm game, I would assume.
Yeah, a rhythm game like a would of... make sense of Grunkle Stan trying to pass himself off as a K-pop idol. It would need to have a rhythm element.
Didn't we do something similar? Like, it was a K-pop manager, and then we talked about managing the social media? Because at the end of the day, because I feel like that would take the same elements for this game.
Blake, I'm going to need you to stop referencing old media that we've released, because there's a finite amount of ideas in the world. And when we hit the point of an episode where we've... No. Let me finish, because this is important. If we hit an episode where we can't go the entire episode without one submission of you being like... Isn't this kind of like this other thing that we've already done? If we hit that point, when we've done every possible idea, we have to close the doors and stop the podcast.
Well, no.
At that point, we'll be done. At that point, we will have done it all. So I need you to stop looking at that horrible possibility in the mouth every chance we get.
No, you and I are two big brain fucking smart individuals. We're fucking also idiots. But you and I got some creativity, dude. I only bring it up because I know you and I have the fucking energy to make something different. I think there's limitless. Yes, are there going to be games where we have like similar energy or like there's going to be similar mechanics? Yeah, like video game platformers have existed forever. You know, like there's a million platformers
that just do
it slightly differently. You know what I mean? There's a million rhythm games out there. They just do it slightly differently. Like everything's a knockoff of Guitar Hero when you think about it. I'm not going to explain that statement, but everything is.
All right, Blake.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Where do you see this game going, or do you want me to take us to the next one?
Let's just give a quick sum up. I don't know if we can go into massive detail about it. I think it is the lesson.
It's a rhythm-based game, visual novel element. Yeah. You watch Stan and his new band of band members attempt to take over K-pop Twitter.
How about this? Everybody loves a road trip series. So they are road tripping to get to New York. And then once they're in New York, they're flying to Korea to do their finale show. They're going to, like, their whole thing is like, if we're going to make this and we're going to get big, we have to go up and do, it's a battle of the bands against, like, what's the biggest K-pop band right now? They just sold, like, more albums than, like, in this last year.
Would that be BTS?
BTS. They're going to do a battle of the bands against BTS is the final scene. And it's gonna be wild.
I'm into that.
Yeah, so there's the bones, and then you know, you have a visual novel style where there's a bunch of different routes to get there.
It's like a mobile game, so you can like you tap the screen to make Grunkle Stan and Zeus dance. You gotta tap the correct little things, but it's like a Mystery Shack thing, and so instead of like X square triangle circle, it's like exclamation point question mark semicolon. All of the rhythm-based iconography is all, like, Mystery Shack iconography.
You know what would be so fucking funny? Stan's like, so Seuss and the two cops come up, is like, hey, where's our RV for touring? He's like, you think I can avoid it? Let me try this again. I don't want to do a bad voice. You think I can afford an RV? He just gets a crane and lifts up the entire Mystery Shack and puts it on the bed of a fucking truck. And then they're just driving the Mystery Shack across the United States. And he's still trying to sell shit. Like, that's like some of the scenes. Is him just trying to drum up support for the Mystery Shack. And all of our interludes. Because Mabel does that, like, vlogging thing, right? Where she kind of, like, does news reports. All of our, like, interludes are done by Mabel on her, like, you know, quote, newscast. Be like, Grunkle Stan is now in Mississippi and is getting ready for his tour. And then, you know, the pig comes in and starts chewing on the mic or something. Just gets that kind of that cutesy vibe in there, too. Because it'd be weird to do a Gravity Falls game without Mabel and Dipper, huh?
No, I think it's the natural order of things. If our story takes place in the Pacific Northwest and Mabel and Dipper have moved back to California, then they don't have a place in our story.
Are you Grunkle Stan's Grunkle Stan?
Life goes on beyond them. I am a Grunkle Stan Stan. And I think that
I'm
story
from California.
About Grunkle Stan alone is the ideal way to continue that series.
Wait, no, hold on. So, like, they came from California to Oregon to come visit their Grunkle Stan. So when I come up to Oregon to visit you, can I call you Grunkle? Like, Grunkle AJ? I'm visiting
Absolutely
for the summer.
You can.
Okay, sweet.
Yeah.
I'm visiting for the summer.
You will have to do anything I tell you, though, because I'll be your Grunkle. And I'm bigger than you.
I'll say I'll do it, and then I just don't.
And then you'll participate in hijinks to get yourself out of that work, and you'll end up in your own sitcom problem. I get it.
I get the formula. I see it. All right, you got a game, brother? You got a game, Grunkle?
This comes from Caleb All Day, All Bay, Martin, Isithius. Naughty Dog made 3 Crash Bandicoot games and 1 Kart Racer. They made 3 Jak and Daxter games and 1 Kart Racer. What would Uncharted have been like? This is, of course, the Uncharted kart racing game, because they did do 3 Uncharted games. It's time for that kart racer. Caleb did us the grand service of already naming it Uncharted. So it's the Uncharted kart racing video game.
So
now issue number 1, we have very little characters to put in these carts, I think. I haven't played an Uncharted game, but I know that we've got the main character, Tom Holland. We've got Tom Holland's older brother. Nathan Drake, that's the name of the character. Drake is... Yeah,
I've played all
I
of
the Uncharted I
can't
remember the character's
game.
Name, so I just went for the actor of the soon-to-be live-action version.
It worked for me.
We've got Nathan Drake. I think we've got Nathan Drake's crazy Grunkle. I believe we've also got Nathan Drake's brother? And then I think that we've got Nathan Drake's girlfriend, and then his mean not-girlfriend. I think that's the only 5 characters I know from the Uncharted games.
Also, aren't there, like, monsters and demons that could be... on the car, because I remember in the first one, he went up against, when he was, like, climbing through a ship that got, that crashed on land, he was going up against, like, ghouls or something. It's like humans that have been sitting
in
the
dark for
so long.
Yeah, of course, the Uncharted ghouls. Hey, yeah, real so, quick temperature check. Have you played Uncharted?
I've played the first one, but I played it, 8 years ago, maybe 9 years ago.
All right, cool. Because I've never played an Uncharted game, and you know what? I think this is exactly the spirit we need for the kart racer.
All right, so it's not a game. It's a game of what we think Uncharted is. So I know there's there's paranormal elements in the Uncharted series, because like I remember like I think it's in the second or third game. There's like a coin and there's like a sarcophagus where they fight like a spirit. So I'm just saying it doesn't need to be limited to human characters. There can
now,
definitely
can the sarcophagus be a racer.
You bet it can, because it's just a sarcophagus laying on its side with wheels underneath it. And then, like, when he activates his boost, they just swing the coffin open and, like, just, like, lean up and they're just, like, screaming, claws barred and all this cool shit. They're just like, yeah, dude, like, no, there's some potential there. There's totally some potential there.
Now, here's the other thing, one thing that I know about the Uncharted games, and that is that because it is a video game by Naughty Dog, it accidentally slides into the... It slides into accidentally the cheeky murder hobo archetype, which is to say a character that we are told is a good and just and moral character, even though you've just gone through 5 levels of mowing down every possible living, breathing thing.
Yeah. Video games are weird
which
like
means
that.
Video games are weird. Here's the answer. All of our cool power-ups for this kart racer game, they're just guns, aren't they?
Yeah, but you also have to have to kill other racers to get
them. We accidentally
made
Twisted Metal again, didn't we?
No, I actually, I have a way that we can fix this. So all of our trailers.
Twisted Metal this, because right now I have a kart racer where you just get a bunch of guns and you shoot each
other. AJ, my sweet summer child, I have the solution for us. One of the big things that people talk about with the Uncharted series is how cinematic they are. They did a whole like line of commercials being like where it was like the couple watching, like one person is watching the other person play the game, and they're like, wow, this is an amazing movie. And then the guy is like, I'm playing a game. And it has to be cinematic. It's kind of loses
to, hey,
some
Blake, legally, yeah? I need to understand before you take another step. I'm seeing where you're going. Are you about to introduce the Fast and the Furious characters into this game?
No. That's a good DLC, though. That's a great DLC. Let's keep that in our back pocket.
Okay.
What I'm saying is,
check our
it's
work.
A whole,
okay.
all of our
What's
trailers look amazing. And they're just like, oh, man, I can't wait to, like, just hit the pavement and hit the dirt and just drive. And, like, I can't wait to see the mechanics of driving. It's all a time event, AJ. There's no actual, you have no control over the car. It's just how good are you at doing time events? Because Uncharted, if I remember correctly, is fucking riddled with those. In those scene of those, what do they call them? Call of Duty's really bad at them. Roller coaster or coaster?
Quick time events?
No, there's like a slang for it of like you are locked in place. A railway segment, I believe is what they're called. Where you kind of just you have no control over your character. You just need to nail time events. How disappointing would it be that this game looks like it's so much fun and you market it as a driving game, but there are no driving mechanics to be had, and you just have to make sure you press the button. You have to make sure you press a button at the right time, I guess, to just go faster or whatever.
Yes, and it's just... the on-carded racing game is just QuickTime events.
Yeah, so it's like, man, it looks so good. It looks like an Uncharted game. There's like, it's like photorealistic characters. All of the effects are there. The gunfire is awesome. The sound design is amazing. And you're like, man, I wish I could just take the fucking reins on this. And then you don't.
I love this.
Actually, you know,
here's my question. Would it still be a party racer? Uh-huh. Like in the way that a lot of those like kart racing games are like party games, could we turn this into a party-based QuickTime competition game?
You could, because there will be segments of the race where like two cars mm-hmm. come together and they're like grinding. Then it becomes like one of those QuickTime events where, like, say you and I are racing and our cars are locked and we're trying to run each other off the road. You and I, who can press A the fastest and the longest? So whoever lasts longer is basically the one who succeeds and runs the other one off the road. And when they run the other one off the road, they get a power up that they can then use later on in the race.
I have one more little wrinkle I would like to throw in here.
Hell yeah. Do it.
You and I, our carts start rubbing against each other. We get put into a QuickTime event where we each have to be mashing A, and whoever mashes A quicker and longer wins. Here's mm-hmm. the one wrinkle. The game yeah. already knows who wins. Nothing
oh,
we
no.
are ever going to do, none of the QuickTimes we will ever participate in actually affect the direction
oh,
of the race
no.
or the story. We
oh,
will
so...
market it that they totally do. All of the like flavor text on the back of the box, all of the ad campaigns will be like, it's a different race every time. It's not. It's not a different race every time. It's the same race, the same story, the same events happen every single time.
Hey, everybody. Sorry, I think we just experienced a little bit of a technical difficulty. I think we just lost, like, the past 2 minutes of our recording. But it's a game that is constant, same outcome. And when we introduce the Fast and the Furious people, it doesn't change the game at all. It just...
Yeah, we have DLC for the Fast and the Furious characters. It doesn't change the game at all, either. The whole game, completely scripted. It's a movie. With a bunch of QuickTime events, with the illusion that having
anything.
Your friends play it with you will change it.
The illusion of choice. Bethesda would be proud, I think.
Yeah, I think Bethesda would be super proud.
Let's talk about another game.
Yeah, you got another video game for me?
I do. This one comes to us from a previous guest of ours, Jupiter's Secret Tweets, at Jupiter from Hell. It's been 12 years, and it's finally time in 2021 to compete with Minecraft. Make the block-based survival building game that will finally topple Minecraft. Also, Caleb Allday it replied, it would need something that Minecraft doesn't have. You know what that thing is? Triangles. So what if we do, because like AJ, the whole retro
wave interesting
movement
that
is,
the direction that you thought was triangles, because I had a very different idea for what Minecraft needs and doesn't have.
What?
Physics.
Okay, I was about to say, AJ, because I know you and I were talking about it earlier in the episode. If you were going to say spheres, I was going to be like, hey, we've already done
that. We've already done that, and I know that much. God, Zach, we're getting so close. Like, we're going to hit the point. If we've taken every joke we possibly could imagine, oof.
Maybe no, you and I are fine. You and I just need to play more games, man. We just got to diversify ourselves. It's all good. All right.
It's
so
physics.
You're thinking
physics is okay, the thing that Minecraft is missing.
Mm-hmm. How would you apply that?
A big hammer. I don't know, dude. Like, there's all sorts of ways that you can have physics. What I'm
gotta,
saying
if
is like,
gonna
if
pitch
I see
something,
that
you gotta have
built
a follow up, bro.
So you've built Minecraft. Okay. You've played Minecraft. We've all played Minecraft. It's been 12 years. It's the one game we've all played. Mm-hmm. I can build a big castle and like build a big, big dirt tower. Just like 80 feet tall worth of dirt.
Mm-hmm.
I want to take that and then say, nice, cool tower of dirt you have there, Blake. Mm-hmm. I've got a funny hammer, a really big, funny hammer. And if I hit your tower of dirt with my big, funny hammer, it's all going to tumble down.
Hey, I hate, you know, TNT does that just the same, bro.
No, because TNT kind of has what I'm talking about. TNT will destroy the blocks that it destroys, but all of the dirt in the sky out of the TNT's range will destroy, will like,
oh,
it
you're
will
saying
stay.
It'll lose structural integrity and fall into itself. That kind of physics.
Yeah,
okay.
I'm looking for structural integrity. I'm looking for gravity. I'm looking for the idea that I can walk into my friend's home knowing that I've got nothing but a big hammer, and it triggers the same part of my brain that playing, what was that, War, Red Faction Guerrilla.
Oh,
where I go
shit.
Into a building with a
rock.
Big hammer and I say, I can tear the whole place down.
Okay, so how do you translate that into a game that isn't Minecraft? Because you also have to do the building mechanics there.
The same building mechanics. I think the two big differences would be that, one, things don't necessarily have to fit on the grid in the same way that they do currently. And two, you have a big hammer. And you can build big hammers and build like wrecking balls and things like that. Everything is still square. They just don't stack up in the same way. It's kind of like, you know how like you work on Windows and you have your desktop and it's all nice because everything organizes to a super nice grid. And then you open up a Mac and you can put those things wherever you want and make it look like an absolute trash disaster.
See, you know what this is tapping into, and you might be on to something. There was this big... I wouldn't say big, but there was like this little pop-up thing that happened in LA. They're called Rage Rooms, where you would pay like $40, $50, $100. And what they would do is they would put you in a bunch of safety gear, like gloves, goggles, mask, a big hoodie. And then they'd put you alone in a room with a fucking sledgehammer. And they would just bring you things to destroy, like a TV, a cabinet, a bed frame, whatever. So... what I'm thinking here is, it is the simplicity of Minecraft's creative mode. So it's like you don't have to collect resources, you have unlimited everything, and you can craft whatever you want, and then you can either go in and destroy it yourself. There's a bunch of like, there's the hammer, but there's also like detonative, or what's it called, like C4, like explosives that you can plant and then trigger all at once. But the thing that makes this a little bit more interesting is anything you create can be put out for everyone else, and they can just have fun going through this art exhibit that they can then interact with by destroying it. So is it like, it kind of has this very cathartic sort of like Rage Room vibe of like, hey, there's something really beautiful over there, I want to just like see it cave in on itself. And that sounds a little fucked up, but I feel like everybody has that temptation
in Minecraft,
you know?
So much more appealing, right? What if you were going into Minecraft and you're like, I'm starting out Minecraft, I gotta start chopping down trees, and you walk over and you hit the bottom block of a tree and the whole thing topples over.
Oh, okay. So I was saying we don't have to collect resources to build. It's just a build-destroy mechanic. But you're saying, like,
no, I'm eating Minecraft's whole lunch. We can have a creative mode. We can have a survival mode. We can have everything that Minecraft has. We're just also adding in physics.
How cool would it be, and stick with me really quick, what if we make it a battle royale? And stick with me for a second, because one of my favorite fucking things when I was watching Yogscast, and I know that's a name that hasn't been thrown around in a long time, but they were like one of the OG like Minecraft people, and they were so big that they actually made one of the first Minecraft narrative series and told this whole like overarching story within Minecraft, The Shadow of Israfel. Never finished, which is a bummer, but they did this one game with a bunch of other YouTubers where they actually loaded into an abandoned city map that's from the Hunger Games, and it was a battle royale of them having to hunt each other down in this abandoned city, Hunger Games style. What if you did a battle royale where 100 people load in, have to have 30 minutes to build the map or fortify themselves, and then the battle royale begins? So, but it's also all physics-based. So, like, if you find some explosives, you can plant those around a person's house, and physics style, you can make all of the pillars go out, and it'll cave in on itself. Or
I love this PvP system that you've created, but I don't know that Battle Royale is the way to go about it. And here's the big reason why. I think that Battle Royale lacks stakes. Part of the joy of Battle Royale is that you load in, you fight some people, you win or you lose, and then you move on to the next thing. But you know what never has felt like it lacked stakes?
What?
Dark Souls. Now follow along. Dark Souls has an incredible system wherein you can summon your homies and your friends to help you assist you in a boss fight. It does have one if you load into the internet and you access the online features. It has another little system that is the pits, and that is invaders. Now, so what if when you built your Minecraft world and you had a server with all of your friends and all of your homies and you've activated the online Minecraft mode so that you can share a wonderful space with your friends, you've also unlocked a new thing that came with it. You've unlocked the invader system.
I hate to break it to you, but this just sounds like public servers where PvP and destruction is okay.
You're right, Blake. But now we've allowed it into a space where it's mandatory. It's if you play online with your friends, then somebody else in the world can make the Enderman portal 2 or the Stinkman's portal. And if you use the Stinkman's portal, you'll invade a random server where you can then go in and do as much damage as humanly possible.
Okay.
If you invade somebody's world, you will. You could get resources, right? If I went into somebody, if I use the Stinkman's portal and I enter somebody else's server, I'm looking around. Ooh, where's the diamonds? Where's the emeralds? Where is those good things that I want to stag and steal?
So you're basically, you're raiding. You're like, you're a pirate, basically, just going in to a settlement and raiding it. Interesting. Okay.
But I can destroy the entire place if I wanted to.
Interesting.
I've been set free inside of somebody else's world, and we know how satisfying destroying things is in this game.
It's building with stakes, because it could be like, you know what would be kind of funny? You do a thing of like that ability for somebody to, or I want to ask you, does that ability happen when you have more than one person on your server, or can it happen if it's just you alone in your own world?
You can only be invaded by the Stinkman's portal if you have multiple people in your world.
Then it becomes like a device.
I don't want to do anything too malicious. I don't want the Stinkman to invade a server when everyone's asleep. I only want the Stinkman to invade when the Stinkman can be stopped. Because I want the little notification to be like, you have an invader, and everybody on the server's like, stop, hold on,
and
wait.
That's cool.
An entire castle. We know that there's an invader here. We just don't know where they are at in this whole world.
When you invade as a stink man,
you invade naked. You don't have anything. So you have to build from the ground up all of the destructive capabilities you could get in the game.
Now, I disagree with that.
Minecraft is a You think that somebody should be able to walk in strapped to the nines with hammers and mallets and nukes?
Yes, and here's why. So basically, they can... It's like you do the system of the Hunt Showdown. It's like whatever you bring with you, it's permadeath. So if you die with these things... you lose them, and that's the reward for the players defending their their area. So one, they get a big XP boost or whatever if they manage to kill like an invader or a group of invaders, because I feel like you can start doing teams where it'll be like, yeah, you can invade with a team of three, and you can always do that, but there's you can have as many
the
people
stink
as you
man
want.
Raids, this is gonna blow up on the Twitch community.
Yeah, well, actually, it reminds me, there's another YouTuber I watched occasionally where he just makes this really tightly edited, content of, he just does heists in games. It'll be like, hey, I'm playing, I think it's Rust or Ark, and he's like, yeah, there's this group of, there's this team, this clan that has, a giant tower, and each level of the tower has a bunch of gear in it, and it's like a clan of people from around the world, and he's like, I'm gonna break in and I'm gonna steal all of their shit without them knowing, and he just edits it like it's this 1970s heist thing. This feels exactly like that. It'll be like, hey, we're gonna gear up, what do you think we need? There's no way to know, or maybe you could do
there's
a thing
no way
of,
to
like,
know what they're going to invade in. Maybe they invade into somebody and they've spent years building up a complete fortress that's impenetrable. Maybe they load in into some little grade schoolers that just started out Minecraft 2, and they're just like, oh boy, I sure do hope that nobody invades and moiters me.
No, how about this?
The invaders just strapped up with TNT and knives.
How about
murder.
This? We take a little bit of out of the Metal Gear Solid 5 playbook, where because one of the mechanics they had in that game is you can you have the mother base, and you can deck out the mother base with soldiers you've met along your campaign with weapons, artillery, whatever, and that contributes to your mother base's overall rating. And when people you can actually go in and invade other people's mother bases. To steal supplies, and I think also just as extra levels, let's say. But you can see how hard that mother base will be. As you build up your community and your server or your world, it'll increase its overall rating. And that's the only thing people get when they can choose which world to invade. That way they get a general idea of
the Stink Man's portal can be upgraded so they can invade a higher, allegedly a higher ranked place.
Yes, let's say there's stars 1 through 5. So a person just beginning has no stars. They have no equipment, they have no settlements, they have no nothing. That equates to a 0 star. But the moment you get a settlement going that uses X amount of material, or it starts to generate X amount of money, it becomes a 1 star. And then so on and so forth until being if you have a server that has people from different continents around the world and is making X amount of money and is basically a fortified castle or fortress or city, that's when it becomes a 5 star. And that's when that'll also dictate what gear people can bring when they're invading. You can't bring a dozen things of C4 when you're invading is a 1 star place. That's just, it's overkill. Certain gear is only accessible to certain tiers of invading. That way it just kind of keeps things a little bit, level and keeps things
it keeps it fair and balanced. I get you. Yeah. I follow.
Yeah. So something, all right, Blake, so something like that. Yeah. What's up?
We got to pick a nug.
What are you feeling? What are you feeling the nug is, brother?
Can I get a little bit of a little sampler? What have we created here today? I remember we created Minecraft, but with physics and PvP invader system. Mm-hmm. We created Uncarded. We've created.
Grunkle stands. Grunkle doesn't stand.
Grunkle stands stand game, and we created Dark Souls, but if it had very wiggly bosses and 60 players all trying to hit them.
I think that one's the one.
That one
Fall Guys Dark good. Souls. I don't know, just the idea of a bunch of people, because I don't think I've seen that, admittedly, a bunch of people competing to get through a level
to smack one
and
thing.
Only the successful people that got through the platform can take on the final boss. Like that that feels cool. That feels like competitive. That feels just like sporadic, like Fall Guys. Like that's the, everything I love about Fall Guys. But of course, we'll have more maps so people don't get bored of it.
And what I love about this concept is it is so easily abusable.
Because how so?
If we've created a game where we've rigged people up with all their cool Dark Souls things, and they and we just say there's 60 of y'all. Go fight the boss, somebody's just going to start swinging right at the beginning and say, I'm just going to moidalize murder.
Oh, shit.
I'm just going to moidalize everybody here.
Oh, my God. That'll be like, there are people in Fall Guys that do that, where they, like, grab you and then they hold on to you. And then, like, when they let go of you, there's, like, a slight chance that you'll bounce off of them. And that's how people get other people to fall off the map. And I'm wondering if you just did that. It would bring out so much evil in people.
It would.
It would be
I think
so
that what we're
bad.
Doing is we're taking all so of we're taking bad. The worst things about Dark Souls, right? Trying to hit an enemy that's really wiggly, trying to like engage in PvP, and of course the platforming of Dark Souls. All of those things that are notoriously the worst parts of that franchise, and just shoving them all into one horrible bottle. And you know what? I'm looking at it. I hate this. We
I
need to create
it.
It needs to be put in the world. What are we going to name this?
Okay, so let's combine, like, let's look at, like, all the famous ones. MXC Unleashed, Wipeout, Fall Guys, Dark Souls. So what if we do something like, it has, like, a sportsy vibe to it. So how can you make Dark Souls... Maybe we just drop the Dark Souls. It's not even a Dark Souls game. It's just our own little, like, obstacle course game.
Might I propose to you this?
What's that?
Demon Souls. No apostrophe on demons. Hold on, wait. Joke. Redact that joke.
Yeah, it was a bad joke.
No, wait. Actually, no, this lands. Sorry, I was going to say redact because I thought that maybe I was misremembering. But the game that currently exists is Demon's Souls with an apostrophe of the possessive of the demons. But what if it's not possessive demons souls? It is plural demons souls.
No.
Because there's just so many little demons that we've created into this little space.
What are you talking about? Fine. Like, okay, how about this? Let's take a break on title. Let's look at some bosses from our Patreon boss fight, and then we can come up with the title. How about that?
Okay, that's fair.
This one is very specific. This one comes from Gazer. They say, a middle-aged suburban dad for whom Blade Runner was a formative experience in his teens. And the idea of a boss being a dad, but he just... is like dressed like he's cyberpunk. He's just trying to be cyberpunk. I think would be very fun.
And he's like fit because like he saw cyberpunk and he's like, oh man, that actor that plays as Han Solo is so fit in this. I want to be fit and athletic like him forever. So he just started working out all the time. Thank you, Harrison Ford.
I love you, man. You're a funny dude.
And so the dad's like, I'm going to be as fit and cool as Harrison Ford forever. And so like you get in there and that is a boss that's gonna be able to duck and weave and jump back and spin kick and dodge roll.
Oh my god, that'd be super cool. And he also like he's just dressed up like Deckard from Blade Runner. He's like, yeah, this is he's like, I actually like when you approach him, he's like, this is these are actual props from the set that I've invested in. I had them custom fitted to me. It smells like Harrison Ford. Just like that. Just that one sentence is like a little bit weird. You're like, all right, this guy's a little weird. And then you have to go into the boss fight. And maybe his thing is that he quick draws. So like we've been talking about like our characters, all of them wielding swords. I think it would be kind of cool that they go up against this kind of cowboy-esque character that when they shoot him, they kind of maybe are like stunned. So, like, I want to avoid the physics thing where they're, like, blown back and off of the map.
But they're stunned, which makes them incredibly susceptible to being harmed by the other players.
So, like, Harrison Ford's character will just be like, he just like draws, like the dad will just draw
Cyberpunk,
the
Cyberpunk dad does not harm the player specifically. He just makes it makes every player so easily defeatable by other players.
Awesome. I like that. And you know what he could
Cyberpunk dad just wants to prove that all of you could be just as bad as he is. You all just are waiting for the opportunity. Pew pew.
You still there?
I got another boss fight for you.
Well, actually, I want to add one quick thing to the
Deckard. Yeah, can you not
hear me? So, no, I can hear you. I can hear you. Basically, when players approach him, because I feel like if people can get through the line of the gunfire, they can get to Deckard really close. His second attack is that he does a cool fucking spin, and his trench coat like works like a broom, and it just sweeps everybody around him and causes them to like also get stunned or maybe push back. So they like, and also everybody's clipping, so anybody who gets pushed back gets pushed into other people who are then pushed back as well.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. All right, what you got?
This comes from Joe on our Discord. Adamesque, the Pirate King. Now, this I imagine is a little bit like the Nameless King, the giant character, on the knight on the cool dragon. And you know what? Now that I'm reading it and thinking about it and talking to you, I'm realizing that this might be a Fooly Cooly reference, isn't it?
That is totally Fooly Cooly reference. But AJ, you're onto something, though, because, okay, wait, really quickly. What form of Adamesque are we using? The one that inhibits our main character's body, where he's dual wielding guitars and uses those as a weapon? Or is it the giant bird dragon thing? Because I think that's his actual form.
It's the giant bird dragon thing. It's Adamesque, the giant bird dragon.
Oh, but actually, here, can I do you one better? It's a giant bird dragon, but in his beak instead. Because like in Dark Souls, you have that wolf that carries a sword in its mouth. You have this giant dragon that carries a guitar in its mouth, and that's its weapon.
A giant it's a dragon bird with a guitar in its mouth. Yeah.
Yeah, it's a Gibson it's a Gibson EB0 bass guitar. No, Tetsuo.
Doesn't matter the kind of guitar, right? Blake.
No. It totally matters to the guitar. If we're doing Adamesque, it's a very specific guitar. And if I remember correctly, it's a Gibson EB0 SG guitar. Cherry red. And oh fuck, that guitar, dude. That guitar actually made me want to learn to play guitar.
Now this boss
is so cool.
That's very cute. Very nerdy. I love you very much. I'm imagining is a much more like field of effect, gotta stay away from the bad things type of game thing, right? Like the bird's gonna swing down with its really, 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 really big left wing and just destroy the entire left half of the arena. So all of the players have to run to one side. This one will feel a little bit more like obstacle-y, a little more Fall Guys-y, just trying to make sure that you're not where you're going to get destroyed by the boss before the boss finally does come down and show its tiny, tiny weak spot. The weak spot is, of course, the guitar.
Oh, okay. And then the guitar,
it's the
like
one thing vulnerable on a giant bird dragon's body is, of course, the guitar that it holds in its beak.
All right. So then if you destroy the guitar, this giant bird dragon just becomes useless and flies away and it's considered defeated.
Yeah. And I love the idea of like this giant, giant boss with like two giant wings that is willing to close down the arena. And you end up funneling in the last 20 or so characters into one itty bitty tiny spot so they can try to smack it with their cool swords.
Dude. Okay. Dope. That's it. I like it. You know what'd be also really fucking cool is like he slams the guitar down and like a bunch of like necks of guitars sprout from the ground, causing people to get fired up. Like they just like it just hits somebody and then they just
they all get launched
into
into the air.
Yeah, they launch into the air and then like and then maybe as a combo that the Adamesque will just swing the guitar and bat them off of the map and they just die. Or those characters come crashing down, landing on whoever's below them. It's just I'm trying to create this fucking hell of a final boss battle area.
Yeah, boss will definitely take advantage of like kind of throwing people into each other and causing the characters to ragdoll and tumble around, which is very fun for a giant bird dragon. Yeah. Blake, we do still need a name for our video game. Is Runner's High anything?
Oh my god, that's such a good name, actually! AJ, you just hit it on the fucking head! Runner's High! For those that don't know, Runner's High is like a song from the Fooly Cooly soundtrack, and it's very good.
Is it? I was thinking about the fact that like when you're a Runner's High is that like moment of euphoria that joggers allegedly hit.
Yeah, that's the same thing. Yeah, that's I believe okay. that's where they got the name of the song title. But yeah, Runner's High. It was from.
I didn't know that there was a track in Fooly Cooly called Runner's High. Hell yeah, that rules.
Yep, yep. There we go. And that's the song that fucking plays when you go up against Atomisk. That, or I Believe I Can, because that. Oh, now hey AJ, can we just launch?
Rules.
Hey AJ, can you and I just do like a Patreon extra where we like each we do like a 6-episode miniseries where each episode we talk about an episode from Fooly Cooly, because it's only 6 episodes and it's like one of the best fucking animes ever.
I'll tell you what, when we hit the inevitable episode where we're unable to go an entire episode, when we hit the inevitable episode where we're unable to do anything without referencing a previous episode, and so we know that we've done all of the possible jokes we can imagine, and we have to close down the doors, then we'll do our 6-episode special on Fooly Cooly.
A treat for ourselves for doing a good job. Of being original.
It will be
and
our
creative.
Swan song for leaving the podcast world in shame.
I was thinking more along the lines of Paul Blart 2. Or what's that one thing where they get together once a year and watch Paul Blart 2?
Till Death Do Us Blart?
And they just make a podcast episode about it. What's that series? I think it's just called Paul Blart 2,
that
right?
Would be Till Death Do Us Blart, which is a very good show.
All right, are we ready for patch notes?
Yeah, let's go to Patch Notes. Hello, everybody, and welcome to Patch Notes. As always, thank you all so much for checking out this podcast. Blake and I have an absolute blast doing it every single week. And if you want to be a little bit more involved with the show, Blake has the perfect piece of advice for you.
Check us out on Twitter at Spiritual Suck. That's suck. With 2 C's, I know, it's a genius name. AJ did a very good job with that one. Where we post, basically post every day, doing arts, doing thank you, doing trailers. Actually, we have, this comes out on Tuesday. So if you want to actually see our game trailers early, you can actually check it out on Monday, where we post it specifically on Twitter. And if you want to get it even sooner, you can also check us out on Patreon at Spiritual Successor.
And of course, Twitter is one of the best places that you can use to interact with the show and give us your submissions so that they can make it onto this recording right now. With that being said, I think that we're going to go ahead and wrap this show up today. As always, our intro and outro song is Cheap Shot by Anna Monoguchi, an excellent song from an excellent band for an excellent game. I have been your host, AJ Hart.
And I have been your other host, Blake Rea. Watch Fooly Cooly.
This has been Spiritual Successor. And these
that
are cool
should
games.
Should not be made.